Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
All right, dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life means forever. And that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you there's something else. The Growing in Grace podcast. Hey, I'm Joel Briesge. It's a world of never-ending happiness. You can always see the sun day or night. So let's go crazy talking about God's love and grace. I'm Joel Briesge. Mike Kepler is with me. Having a little Woo-hoo. Bit of fun.
Woohoo, baby.
Woohoo! I don't know. I got this.
Joel, I don't even know if I can get that high anymore. Yeah.
I don't know how that happened. It's probably because it's early in the morning and I'm drinking. Actually, from what I'm having here involves two birthday presents. Last month was my birth month. April was my birth month. And from Menards, save big money at Menards, I got a coupon from them that I could go in and get this mug. So it says Menards on it, and it's this yellow mug, and it's got tools shaped around. I feel like Tim the Toolman Taylor. But one of the presents I got for my birthday was some Darjeeling tea. I had asked for it. It's this certain kind that I found on Amazon that I really like. So I'm drinking some Darjeeling tea in my Menards cup, and it just makes me happy.
Well, so, that makes me happy.
Yeah, and I guess that causes loud pitched noises to come out of my mouth like it just happened. Doubt if I could do it again, though. I'm not going to try.
Well, thank you for joining us for another week out there in podcast land. Let's get into something here. I mean, when you do this for over 20 years, you find yourself revisiting what I think are critical topics of conversation for us to understand as it relates to the finished work of Jesus Christ and the unlimited, overflowing abundance of grace that God has poured out on us through Him, through that perfect love, because God is love, right? And one of these subjects that I think we want to revisit and maybe get some new perspectives on, perhaps. I think we discovered some just as we were coming on to talk on our podcast this week. Things were just coming to us as we were talking that were kind of cool. And that's kind of how it works with Joel and I when we do these podcasts. We don't have the year planned out. We don't even often have the next week planned out.
Well, I was going to say 5 minutes before we got together, we really didn't have anything planned.
No, it's more like, okay, we get caught up for a few minutes on personal stuff. And then what are we going to do here? What's on your mind? What's on your heart? And sometimes we hash it out for a few minutes trying to figure that out. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. What do you want to talk about? Whatever you want to talk about. It's like watching a couple trying to decide where to go out to eat.
Where to go out to eat. What to watch on TV.
And so we decided we want to focus on the subject of forgiveness, specifically God's forgiveness toward us and how that relates to us perhaps a little bit later as we relate to others. But this is kind of a big deal because – listen, if you're somebody who is going through life, perhaps as a Christian, somebody who believes in God and considers Jesus Christ your Savior, but if you're somebody who is a believer, but often questions where you stand with God, often because you're not sure if you're forgiven or not. That's a bad place to be. I can speak from personal experience. If you're going from day to day or week to week, month to month, wondering, I wonder if I'm forgiven, that's not a good feeling, because then you start to question your eternity and what God thinks of you. Is he mad at you? Is he angry? All of that stuff. So let's get into some of this, because Joel, you had the Jewish people who were under the law. And boy, there's just going to be so many dimensions for us to get into on this, and we'll probably have to come back to some of it, but throwing a few things out there to, and then getting you in here. The Jewish people under the Mosaic law, they had this system in place. It was a system that was based upon works and a whole bunch of other rules and regulations, hundreds of them. And some of that related to this thing that is sometimes referred to as atonement. Now, I heard somebody recently ask the question, do you think we have limited or unlimited atonement? Well, atonement is really an old covenant word. It really isn't a word meant for us in New Covenant Christianity, because atonement simply means a covering, and that's what the Jews were experiencing with the whole system of animal sacrifices and that blood and the repeated need for that. It was a covering. It was a temporary thing. It wasn't a complete forgiveness where sins were taken away. It was like having a stain on the rug or on the carpet and throwing another rug over it, and the same that you may not see it anymore because it was covered. A guest would come over and just walk over the rug and not even be aware there was a stain under there because they couldn't see it. They weren't aware of it. But that's what an atonement is. It didn't take anything away. Right. And that's why there was this need for repeated sacrifices with the animal blood. There was the atonement factor in the old covenant. There was not complete forgiveness. There was not the removal of sins. Jesus went to the other extreme, removed sins, took them away. It wasn't a covering. It was sins being taken away forever. No more needed repeated sacrifice from Jesus, right? Bloodshed once for all. Where we, as Christians today, have gotten caught up is in between these two things, generally speaking, in the world of religious church. And that is, we come to Jesus, we confess our belief in him, and we go through this thing that we refer to as salvation, being saved, and feeling clean, feeling light and fresh and new. But then we're told that, well, you are saved. God did forgive you, but it's an ongoing forgiveness now. If you have a sin that occurs in your life or repeated sins, then you need to ask God to forgive you again. You need to do the rededication thing again. Some people want to be baptized in water again. There's a whole bunch of different things from all thousands of different perspectives. And so people are kind of caught in this web between the old covenant and the new when it comes to, where do I stand with God? Am I truly forgiven?
Yeah, it's like we've talked about many times, where we open up our Bible and we just think that everything in there pertains to us, without knowing the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant, and that they do not mix. I mean, it was a big part of the book that you wrote a few years ago, The Clash of the Covenants, that believers today tend to mix the covenants, but in doing so, there's a huge clash because they are so different. God said that the new one will not be like the old. It's nothing like the old. And so, like you were saying, that old system, under that system, sins were covered. But the blood of bulls and goats, which is what provided that covering for sins, could not take away sins. It couldn't take away sins. So they had to. There was ongoing, repeated forgiveness of sins because the blood of animals kept needing to be shed. The people kept having to do all these things. They needed the priests to do all this atonement work for them. And so that word atonement definitely is an old covenant term. It's not a new covenant term. The new, the forgiveness that we have through Jesus Christ, is completely different. So if you open up your Bible and you read about that forgiveness under the old, that does not apply to you because it's so much better in the new. And what we have in the new is one sacrifice, as opposed to many sacrifices, as opposed to ongoing sacrifices. There is one sacrifice, and you mentioned this, it's one sacrifice that took away sins, didn't just cover them, didn't just atone for them, didn't just cover them up, but it took sins away, and it not just took away the sins that you've already committed, but it took away all your sins forever. It took away all sins forever. One sacrifice for all sins forever. That's how big the sacrifice of Jesus was. That's what happened through that sacrifice. That's why the old covenant was done away with, because it could not provide that perpetual forgiveness of sins, the once for all forgiveness of sins. It couldn't do that. It depended upon mortal men doing sacrifices of animals, as opposed to God, who had become flesh, who had become one of us, going to the cross and dying for our sins and taking everything upon himself, and then rising again from the dead. You see, no animal ever did that. No man ever did that. Just Jesus Christ. And so his blood, that's the basis of our sins. It's the, you know, like you said, there's so many ways we could go with this. I've had so many thoughts, even just since we started talking about this morning, that that one sacrifice is all that is needed for all sins for all time. Even us asking for forgiveness doesn't cause God to forgive us, because it's already been done. You know, even under the old covenant, even under those animal sacrifices, it wasn't a matter of asking for forgiveness for sins. God had set up the system where these sins would be covered, and they did it yearly, and we've made it even harder. But like you say, we're kind of living in between that old system where we, where, you know, the sacrifices didn't take away sins, and the new, where Jesus did take away our sins once and for all. But we're living in this place now, a lot of people anyway, where it's like you say, it's kind of in between. People are, am I really fully forgiven? Is there something I have to do? Do I have to ask for forgiveness? What if I haven't confessed all my sins? It's like we talk about the sacrifice of Jesus, but it's like, it's almost as if it sort of worked, but there's something that we sort of have to do, and a lot of people are confused. But let's draw the line clearly. The old way did not work. The new way worked, and it worked perfectly once and for all sins and forever.
Well, and that's a big deal. And so it's important for us to understand, when did this take place for humanity? Because we often think of forgiveness in terms of individuals, but Jesus shed blood, right? Forgiveness came through that blood. He did it once, as we've mentioned a couple of times already. He's not offering any more sacrifices. Right. So when did this forgiveness release for us as people? I mean, when did it become available? When did it happen? When did it occur? When was it finalized? It was finalized with a new and better covenant. After the death of the testator, Jesus placed blood. I mean, he not only shed blood, but he placed blood on a heavenly altar. So this issue of forgiveness has been completely dealt with. You see, because if sin is no longer the problem between us and God, because Jesus dealt with it, then we have no business asking God to forgive us of something that he declared he would remember no more. So when did God decide that he would stop remembering your sins? Was it on your last sin? Was it when you confessed Jesus Christ as Lord? When was it? It was a little over a couple thousand years ago. That's when this happened. That's when this occurred. I'm not talking necessarily about a universal salvation. I'm just talking about dealing with the issue that would allow us now to come into eternal life, because the book of Hebrews in chapter 9 says Jesus, through him came an eternal redemption. So life can occur now because sin, which brought death, is no longer in the way.
Right. And that's the thing, because universal forgiveness does not equal universal salvation. But that forgiveness came through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so even under interesting thing, even under the old covenant, the people, I like what you said, something about individually, you know, it's the people under the old covenant didn't individually atone for their own sins. Blood was shed, the blood of animals was shed for all of the people. That's how their sins were atoned for. It wasn't them asking for forgiveness. It wasn't them going out and doing something, living a better life. Not that they weren't trying, because they were under the law. They were trying to keep the law. But their sins weren't atoned for by anything that they did. It was through the blood, the shed blood of animals. What makes the new covenant better, life in Christ, far superior, is that, again, it's not us individually. You can't do anything to provide any more forgiveness than what you already have. No matter how many sins you've committed, you can't do anything about it, because Christ already did that one sacrifice for all sins for all time. That's how we've been forgiven. So we can't be trying to go out and do things to, quote, atone for our sins. Again, that's an old covenant term. That's worth spending some time on sometimes, because that word atonement, it's temporary, and it's not a taking away of sins like we've been talking about. Jesus Christ took away our sins forever. And so that's one reason that we can know that we're secure in this new life in Christ, because he's not counting our sins against us, because they've been taken away, and it's through that one sacrifice.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brzezicki, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.